hear that motor turning. Automobile coming into style, coming down the road for a country mile or two. So happy just to see you smile underneath that sky blue on this new morning. It always does when you're with me. Can't you feel it, sun a shining? Round hog running by the country stream. This must be the day that all of my dreams come true. So happy just to be alive underneath this sky blue on this new morning. Just to be alive underneath the sky of blue on this new morning, new morning, on this new morning with you, new morning, new morning.
As she buys her paper at the corner shop, no point. There's no good, there's no bad in this dirty little joint. No dope smoking, no beer sold after 12 o'clock. Rosedale, Mississippi, Magic City juke joint. Mr. Johnson sings over in a corner by the bar. Sold his soul to the devil so he can play guitar. Too cool to be forgotten. Hey, hey. Too cool to be forgotten. Man running through the grass outside says he wants to take up serpents. Says he will drink the deadly thing and it will not hurt him. House rules, no exceptions. No bad language, no gambling, no fight. Sorry, no credit, don't ask. Bathroom worries, it's got
don't like talking to myself, but someone's gotta say it. Hell, I mean, things have not been going.
WMFO 1017 in the morning. I'm Mike, and here with my guest, Rick Barton, who's sitting over there looking at me. I'm looking back, and now he's going to talk. How you doing, Rick?
Pretty good, Mike. How are you?
Pretty good. If you don't know Rick, he's kind of, devoid of personality. He's really not easy to talk to or anything. And I just invited him just as he's sitting right here. I shouldn't be saying that stuff.
No, it's good to talk directly to me about my character flaws. I like that.
All right, good. No, actually, it's just the opposite of that. Really, really happy to welcome you here. I know you've been here because you've been around the scene for a little while, even though you're only 29 years old. But but you've been here with Skybar, and you've been here. You said you knew Mikey D.
Oh, yeah.
From the Studio D is named after. So you're familiar with WMFO.
It's a great station.
It is. We love it here.
Carrying on a fine tradition.
Yeah. I mean, it's really important that the local music stuff we do. So we just finished up a 5-song set of yours, and I know it was an exercise that's not easy to do 5 songs. Let's talk about them a little bit, starting with the last one, Purple Mountains, which I am not familiar with, and you were telling me all about that. It says it came out in 2019. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. It's David Berman from the Silver Jews. It's his project. He had the Silver Jews for 20 years, from 89 to 2009, and then he just bowed out of music. He was pretty messed up, you know, and he had this comeback record. He got his friends from Pavement back together, and they recorded this album. he named the band Purple Mountains, and that's the name of the album. And I'll get right to the punchline. It was his suicide note to his ex, or the world, I guess. A month after the album was released, he killed himself. And he was 52 years old, and it's a tragic story. He was another one of those tortured geniuses that we've all known in the history of music. And but the album is brilliant. It's so beautiful. When I play it for people, I always, because this woman, her name was Madison, she worked at Bandit Coffee down in St. Pete, and I didn't know anything about the Silver Jews, and she told me, and it was months after this album came out, and she knew them, and I said, what album should I get by the Silver Jews? And she said, because the hipsters know good, indie music. And I, and she said, get Purple Mountains. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay. And I go, but she said, that's David Berman's latest thing. Mm. And I listened to it. I came back the next day. I go, did this guy kill himself? And she just, downcast eyes, she just said yes, because he was a revered figure. I mean revered, but he didn't even realize it. Yeah. He thought it was an imaginary cult following because he was so messed up. And it's just a sad story, but it's a life story, and the album is so beautiful. He's a brilliant lyricist, and I'm just glad I was turned on to him, because I could have gone my whole life without ever knowing who this guy was.
I didn't know the band. And I have to say, too, I mean, as far as an influence goes, that sounds a lot like you, just your voice. It sounds like you. So good on you for the influence. And thanks for introducing me to that band. I didn't know them. I will, though, after this.
Oh, you've got to listen to that album. It's incredible.
Definitely that. But the one that was just before that, I certainly know The Replacements, one of my favorites ever, from their 2008 record called Let It Be, which takes cojones anyway to name an album Let It Be. That was Unsatisfied. A couple quick thoughts about that song. It's just great. Paul Westerberg, right? What can you say?
Yeah, it's just, I could choose, 50 replacement songs to play, but I've always loved that song.
Yeah.
And by the way, Mike, Spotify has the date wrong on that, but that's okay. That came out a long, long time ago. Back in the mid-80s.
It's the expanded edition, so it must have been...
So, just so people know. But, anyone listening to this show would know when that record came out, I think. But,
I knew when I said it, yeah.
He's another one of those tortured geniuses, Paul Westerberg. I mean, he could be my favorite songwriter of all time. He's just so brilliant. He paints a picture. You're right there when he sings a song, and you know that life, man.
His solo work away from the band is just so awesome. I mean, he did an album called Eventually, right? With a track on there that I think might be the best pop song written ever, Love Untold. Talking about story and music that matches that, and the performance, too. I mean, I'm with you on him. Just crazy stuff. Lucinda Williams, another favorite. We were just talking. I've seen her at Newport Folk Festival. You've seen her many times. Great record from her in 2006, Car Wheels on a Gravel Road. Too Cool to Be Forgotten. She's a force.
Yeah, once again, I hate to be correcting you, but that was 97.
This is my database here that's lying to us.
Okay,
bald-faced
I'm sorry,
lies.
Man. And I'm a stickler for dates.
No,
so,
it's in my
numbers
database.
Numbers and all of that.
It's a deluxe edition, that's why.
Okay, well, there you go. Yeah. But anyway.
We get half a point.
Yeah, so when you had asked me to do this, I happened to pull... I haven't listened to that album in many years, and I happened to be listening to it, and I said, whoa... that is a stunning record, absolutely stunning, and people should check that one out too.
Yeah, her voice is like nobody. I mean, it's just like the title of the record, Gravel Road. Her voice is gravelly, but she knows how to use it.
Oh, she's
That's
a singer. She's a brilliant singer. There's a big difference between having a voice and knowing how to sing.
Right?
I know that very well because, I wasn't gifted with the perfect voice, but I've learned how to sing. And there's an art to it. And
I've been told,
it takes a long time.
Yeah.
I've been working at it forever.
Yeah. I will not be singing for anybody today or any other day. The Kinks, I can't tell you how many people I have come in here and I gave them the same homework. It's like, give me five songs that influenced you. And they're like, oh my God. The Kinks get mentioned so often, from Muswell Hillbillies. And I didn't know this track either, really. I may have heard it, but Oklahoma, USA. There's so many Kink songs. Why that one?
I've been listening to that album. My cousin lent me that album when I was about 11 years old or 12. I think it came out in December of 71. And that album has stuck with me for my entire life, just about. And that song sends chills up and down my spine still to this day when I listen to it. And, you know, it's like the imagery in that one. You know, she buys her paper at the corner shop and she dreams of being Rita Hayworth and Doris Day, you know, and being in Oklahoma, USA. And it's just, whoa, like I'm walking in that woman's shoes to that corner shop, the drudgery of the day ready to unfold. And it's just, Ray Davies is a brilliant, brilliant songwriter, and that one just has always resonated with me. It, you know, even when I listen to it today, I just love it.
I just want to say, I mean, it's people that love music, you know, and you're obviously one of them. I am too. We never hear music, and it's never just something in the background. It's always in the forefront because
you're absolutely right.
About
it's
just that.
And if it wasn't for me, it's about lyrics mostly, you know. I mean, I like a groovy beat.
It's music for me, and the lyrics come after. I don't know why, but
for me, it's all about the lyrics. Like, if it wasn't for finding these beautiful lyricists, I would probably be a finger-snapping, toe-tapping, casual music fan. Like, I wouldn't care. Yeah. I'd be listening to classic hits all day long.
But it's just not that way.
No, because I seek out these beautiful lyricists, you know, like Paul Westerberg and Dylan, of course, and John Prine and Townes Van Zandt, you know what I mean? Like, Townes Van Zandt has some of the greatest lines in the history of music. Like, he has a song called To Live Is To Fly, and he has a line, I wrote it down. He says, we got the sky to talk about and the world to lie upon. And that, it's like the imagery of that, it's like you're instantly with a lover and you're laying in a field and you're looking up at the sky, or it could have been when you were kids. You know what I mean? And your best friend.
We've all done it. Yes. We know what that feels like.
And when he sings that line in that song, it's just like, oh my God. Yeah. How did he come up with that
line? Because I get that. Yeah.
Yeah. Why couldn't I have had that line? But I didn't have that line because I'm not brilliant like he is.
Well, you're doing the right thing. I mean, being a musician and all. I mean, you should be doing what you're doing. That's for sure. If you love music like you do. And speaking of loving music and lyrics, like you mentioned, Bob Dylan, we don't have to say anything from 1970. Was that right? 1970.
Yeah, you got that one.
All right. New Morning. That's a database. Got one right out of five. Yeah. That's 20%. What else do you want?
That's pretty good. You're good with the numbers too, man. And the interest, I told you about that song. That used to be my like Saturday morning record. I love that. That's probably my favorite Bob Dylan album, but it's tough to call. You know, there's Blood on the Tracks, John Wesley Harding, so many incredible records. But that, for some reason, especially in the springtime, that used to be my Saturday morning record that I'd put on.
Yep.
It's an incredible album. So I figured, you know, here we are, Saturday morning.
Yeah, right. It's Saturday morning, and I'll just note that I would have rather it was a sunny day to hear that beautiful song, but it's all right. The song makes things better.
That's
what music
right.
does. Music
oh,
does
yeah.
that. Not only does it make things better, but it takes you back to when it was and where you were, and you get those great feelings again.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. All right, so let's talk a little bit, just quickly, about a couple of bands that you'll be associated with forever, in a good way. Whenever somebody around here talks about music of old in this great town that we have, if the Outlets come up, honestly, people are always like, oh, I love the Outlets. You know, and you were in them. By the way, was it you or your brother that found it? Or did you do it together?
We did it together.
Okay. And 1980-ish?
Yeah, towards the end of 79, we had started, you know, we found our guys to be in the band with us, Walter and Mike White.
Yep.
And and then we started in earnest.
Yeah, and you did some work. There was another band that I remembered from that time. Boys Life was another band.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys did some collaboration with them, releases and stuff like that.
Yeah, we did a single, Boys Life versus the Outlets. They were our rivals.
Wanted to beat them up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you released the song You Want to Play with that song called Knock Me Down. That's a nice local hit that we want to play.
Yeah, produced by Richie Parsons.
Richie Parsons.
That's a story in itself.
What a
man.
Nice guy he is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So just quickly, Knock Me Down, great song. Just a couple of quick recollections about that one.
Well, one time, we were backing up the Dead Kennedys at Fensgate Ballroom.
Yeah.
And my brother launched himself into the audience, like kind of put the guitar down and did some crowd surfing. And, you know, the place was packed. 500-600 people, whatever that place held. And all of a sudden, I'm hearing the chorus is still going, the Knocks Me Down Again part.
And he was the lead singer.
Right, but he's out in the audience, and I'm going, wow. Like, that was the first time that I had ever experienced the audience singing a song that I was playing. And it was pretty powerful, man. It was like,
wow,
you know, and then I got to experience that a few more times in my career, but that was the first. And, yeah, that's just a basic three-chord little song about love gone bad, I guess.
Cool recollection. This is Knock Me Down, great track from the Outlets. We'll be back after this at WMFO. Me down a bit. It's WMFO 10:32 in the morning. I'm Mike. I can envision like the whole crowd surfing thing that you were talking about during that song. Perfect song to crowd surf to.
Oh yeah.
You know, you got to be a certain age though. I mean, my age, no. I mean, you know, standing up is a feat at this point. But that's a great track. It was really good to hear that again.
Thank you very much.
And did you and Alex write it or?
That's my brother's song.
Okay. Great song. I mean, what does it feel like to have a song like that that's just so great and everybody tells you so and it must be a great feeling?
Yeah, it's strange.
I mean, it's a long time ago, but still.
I have another story about that song, Mike, real quick.
Go, go,
okay?
Go, go. Yeah.
So I'm a house painter. I've been a house painter. I started with my grandfather in 1979. I've been painting houses all my life, just about. And one day I was in Quincy, Mass. I was up on a ladder. That song had just come on, had just come out. It was the end of 1980. And, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe it was the spring of 81. I know it came out in the end of 80. But anyway, I'm up on this ladder, and a car went driving by. I was working in Quincy, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And the song was blaring out of the car.
Nice.
Radio, right? So I'm thinking, this is the last summer I'm going to be up on this ladder. I'm going to be a rock star.
Obviously, I'm
clearly
famous. Yeah.
But here I am, 45 years later, or however many years later, and I'm still up on the ladder. I'm still swinging the paintbrush, brother.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing.
I mean, between the Pete Townsend windmills, I'm up there swinging the brush. And, you know, that's how I earn my keep. And I actually kind of enjoy painting these
days. I'm sure it's, you know, it's a creative endeavor. I mean, you're a creative person. I mean, it does. I mean, you know.
It's hard work, though.
Sure.
I took a few bad falls last year, man. Woo.
Ooh,
but those woke
that.
Me up and, yeah. you know, and made me focus more. You know, everything I do in life, I've got to focus and keep focusing. And as you get older, you just got to pay attention.
That's so true. So let's talk about another band that is still around and really is an infamous band. Everybody knows about them, the Dropkick Murphys. And at the inception of that, you were involved. You were involved. You helped found it. You were there for, I think, their first EP and most of the first two releases. You were there.
Yeah, and I'm on the third record too. Sing Loud, Sing Proud. A lot of people don't realize that, but I kind of made up a lot of the music for that record. And but that was my swan song.
Well, right.
I quit in the middle of recording the album.
I was going to say, okay, so it wasn't a great way to leave.
No, it was terrible. I didn't get along with my friend that I started the band with, and we're friends again, which
right.
is great.
Yes.
But at the time, like, when you're just stuck in a van, because we toured relentlessly for our first 4 or 5 years as a band, and it's in a van, and, you know, you're elbow to elbow with these guys, and I have many regrets in life, of course, we all do, but that's one of the big ones is that Because I was a sports guy. I played sports growing up and stuff, but I was not a team player in that band. And it still kind of bothers me to this day, even though Kenny and I have made amends to each other.
Yeah, you just were at the show a little while
ago.
Yeah,
in fact, my brother and I, back on February 29th down in Nashville, got up and played Knocks Me Down with the Dropkick Murphys.
That's great.
So that was kind of cool. But, you know, I wish that I had... you can't go back. You can't take back the things you've done, but I'll always have regrets that I didn't embrace Kenny's vision and that I wasn't more supportive of him, because it's hard, man. It's hard when you're trying to get a band off the ground.
And you were young. What do you know?
Oh, I wasn't that young. I should have known.
Funny.
I should have known better.
Well,
I should have been a nicer person. I should have been more respectful of what he was doing. But I was jealous. I was jealous because he came out of nowhere and he suddenly knew everything. Of how to get a band off the ground. But that was a learning experience for me. It's like, when I saw that, I was like, whoa, this guy is unbelievable. He had the Midas touch, and he was the hardest working guy that I've ever been around in music. And, you know, and now my hat's off to this guy, because I see it takes a toll on you. You know what I mean? I'm sure as confident and as successful as he's been, I'm sure that 30 years of doing that band, it has to take an emotional toll on somebody. And so I have nothing but the utmost respect for Mr. Ken Casey. And we grew to hate each other when we were in that van. And that's a sad part of it, but that's, once again, life, that's the way it goes.
It's really great that you and him have made amends, because... what's the point? I mean, we're not here forever.
Like Lucinda Williams said in the first line of that song, what's the point? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So did you have any idea back then?
I knew.
With all the feel you did.
Oh, yeah. Because when I was still in the band, we had begun headlining, you know, the 1,200-seat theaters around the country.
Once you break the 1,000, you're like...
Yeah, yeah. And we were going to Europe, and we headlined Warped Tour 1 year. And I knew the thing was taking off, but... that didn't matter. Plus, I had a fear of success. That's another part of it. So it was like mining Kenny's disdain for one another, plus my fear of success, it was mounting. It was like, you know, I just couldn't handle it.
A lot of pressure. Yeah.
But believe it or not, if people think it's like all, a bed of roses and you just skip jauntily onto, you know, the big tour bus and all the accolades.
Adulation all the time. Yeah.
But it's not quite like that. It's not quite like that.
Because you've got to be in the van on a hot day with all these people and everybody's getting a little ornery, and you got to be able to deal with that. But
I finally know how to do it.
All right.
That'll
be in your next book.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm working on the book.
Oh, you should be. All right, so before you start talking about the book, so you were with them, as we've established, at the beginning, and there was a record called Do or Die that you had participated in, and you told me you'd like to play a song called Get Up. Great track, Rick. Talk about Get Up a little bit.
Well, back in those days, Kenny and Mike really didn't know music, so I was kind of like the musical director of the band, and in fact, we taped the notes to the back of Kenny's bass so he could follow along, and I'd go, come in right here, Mike, screaming. And Mike was great, man, and he just had, you know, he had this energy and this very unique voice, and I don't know, somehow it worked. We weren't very good, but the formula worked of my experience of what I knew and what those guys brought to the table. And then, of course, we found this kid that was an amazing drummer, Matt Kelly, and that just took it over the top. And Matt's still with the band, and he's still incredible and a great guy.
All right, everybody, from Do or Die. I'm afraid to say the date, but I will. What does it say? I can see. 1998. That's correct.
Yeah, it came out in January of 98.
That's correct.
We recorded it in the summer of 97.
From Do or Die, these are the Dropkicks, and a great song. This is Get Up at WMFO. WMFO, 10:42 in the morning. I'm Mike. He's Rick. Damn, so much great energy in that song. I mean, you got to love to hear that.
I haven't listened to that in a long time, but my guitar tone, I mean, the song is great. The performance is incredible. My guitar tone is incredible. And I'll tell you a quick story about that. Lars Fredriksson from Rancid produced the record. And one day he told me that I should go rent a JCM 900 for the music nerds out there. They'll understand this. But I had a great JCM 800 and a JMP 100-watt amp, and I was like, there is no way that I'm going to use a JCM 900. So what I did was I just drove around for about 2 hours and came back and said, I couldn't find one. We're going to go with my amp. And I am so glad that I did, because that tone that I had in that song is unbelievable. I guess I could thank Lars. Lars is great to work with, by the way, aside from wanting me to play JCM 900. But
obviously.
Jim Siegel from The Outpost was a great engineer, and I haven't heard that album, so it sounds good,
It sounds good. So you're right in the middle of these two JBL speakers, too. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got great sound there.
I never knew we were that good.
All right, so let's move forward here to today. You've got a solo career going on, and it's been pouring out of you. You know, you've got two albums out, and let's take them one by one. You had an album called Nowhere Man that came out just last year, and the stuff that's pouring out of you, I want to know what the impetus is for these songs, because, you know, we heard your influences, we heard the Outlets, we heard the Dropkicks, and your stuff is so very different. Talk about how that came to be. How is it so different?
Mike, I don't really know.
Yep.
What I do know is that I don't call myself a songwriter. I say that I make up songs. So I have this, like, old crappy out-of-tune acoustic guitar that, you know, I can't get it in tune. And I basically do this, like, rudimentary thing where I just start, like, banging these two chords together. And then all of a sudden, I start singing a melody line. Then I'll go to the chorus. Then I'll jump up and walk around the room going, how did this happen? How did this happen? Like,
yeah.
It's just this thing. And then I finish off the song, and they all come out really quick. And I don't know. I'm not one of those guys that thinks things are divinely inspired.
You don't dream them.
No, I'm not like a religious guy. I'm not a spiritual guy or anything like that. But the songs do just flow through me. I mean, on these sessions for those two albums, in fact, we've already got the third album almost recorded and done. And I've cut something like close to 60 songs with my friend Dave Westner, who plays drums. And initially, I was just going in there to catalog a bunch of my material. I was just going to sit down on the acoustic guitar and sing. And then he played drums to the songs and sent me the files. I was going, oh my God, this is a
record.
Yeah. That's exactly what I said. Yeah. This is a record. And so then I went to work.
So talk about Alabama. Why Alabama? Why that state? What does it have to do with you?
I do have friends down in Alabama and in the Muscle Shoals area. And I don't know, like, you know, that's just, I strummed the first chord and those are the lyrics that came out. I honestly I have never had a preconceived thought about a song in my entire life. And I've got thousands of songs and I never think about it. I never think of a, you know, what I'm going to write about. I just don't. I just strum the chord and the melody comes out, and then I continue with the song. Then I jump up from my couch and I walk around going, "How did this happen? How did this happen?" And I guess goosebumps, and then I finish the song off.
All right, everybody, let's check it out from Rick's record called Nowhere Man. This is Alabama.
Hello, my darling, how you doing? I still got Alabama on my mind. Hello, my darling, how you doing? I still got Alabama on my mind. Don't know exactly what is brewing. Just get the feeling I get it right this time. Been a long time coming. You sure got that straight. Been a long time since I held somebody in my arms. I try to be gracious, not too demanding. Just be accepting of your beauty and your charm. Lying awake here on this early morning, sunshine looks like it'll do me well. Another winter will be soon upon us, but for the moment you could hardly tell. I try to hold steady, keep out the darkness, 'cause that's a place where I can no longer dwell. It'll hold me hostage and be quite a burden. Spend a lifetime living there and it sure was hell. Now there is no reason to stir up the demons. I let them lie dormant way down deep in the well. Hello, my darling, I got so much love to give. No longer is it something that I need to sell. Lying awake here on this early morning, sunshine looks like it'll do me well. Another winter will be soon upon us, but for the moment you could hardly tell. Now get along, get along, get along, get along, get along. Well, I sure been trying. I said get along, get along, get along, get along, get along. I sure been trying. Now I can proudly say, gave it my all. Lying awake here on this early morning, blue skies of Alabama on my mind. Lying awake here on this early morning, blue skies of Alabama. that special kind of charm. To empty arms, she always had someone to hold her, but love to her was just a yarn. She'll be the one, she'll be the one, she'll be the one wearing that crown. She'll be the one, she'll be the one, she'll be the one. Into the future, she don't like what she can see. She wears a crown of thorns so beautifully. She wears a crown of thorns so beautifully. She wears a crown of thorns so beautifully.
WMFO Medford, Mike, he's Rick, and as I said, we're going to start with Alabama from Rick's album called Nowhere Man, came out just last year, and per your request, Rick, I went ahead and I surprised you with that one from the most recent of your two albums called Coming Home. That was Crown of Thorns. I really like that song, and I did and have been listening to the lyrics of that one. That one's pretty cool.
Thank you very much. There's those two chords, C to F,
there
back
you
and
go.
Forth, banging them out.
There you go. Crown of Thorns, who or what is that about?
Yeah, I know it's hard to believe, but I don't know.
All right.
I just don't.
That's fair. It seems like you would, just from the song, because it seems like it's something.
Yeah, it probably is.
Yeah, remember when David Letterman used to go, "Is this anything?" And they would do something stupid?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's kind of like, is this anything? Maybe it's not. I don't know. All right, but so let's continue with another song from that great record, Coming Home. This one's called A Mighty Fine Tale. Should I just go ahead and play it? Does this mean anything or no?
Yeah, play it, and then if it comes to me.
You got it. Rick Barton from Coming Home, this is A Mighty Fine Tale.
Tell a mighty fine tale. Tell a mighty fine tale. Wish I could believe. Someday I'll see it. Maybe you might flash it for me. We're all living in denial. We're all living in denial. So won't you take comfort and know you're no different from me. And I try not to judge you by the way you feel. Maybe it's
All right, with Talks of Mighty Fine Tales, I am Mike, and I've been here with Rick Barton. Whoops, what am I doing here? I don't know. Oh, that was just the end. You surprised me. You're supposed to tell me if you do that.
I forgot about that.
Then again,
that
you
part.
Probably didn't know. So that was a Mighty Fine Tale, and it certainly was.
I think you talking over that ending worked.
I planned it all. I did. You don't believe me?
No.
No.
Not this time, Mike.
All right, well, listen, I'm going to say something here, too. The last thing I'm going to play is my favorite one, probably because I identify with it, because, you know, fathers and sons are complicated, you know? And so I know that this one, these lyrics have some meaning to you.
Oh, yeah, they
oh,
do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you probably don't even have to say anything about it because it's obvious, but the video that you did brought me to tears. You know, just of you and your dad and the images and stuff. Man, as a songwriter and as a performer, what is it like to be able to want to say something and then put it into a song and have it out? And what is it like when you hear it?
I don't know. I don't get emotional over my stuff. Like, I mean, when I first make the song up, I get very emotional. But then it's like, it's kind of gone.
Even with this one?
Even with this one. Hmm. I get emotional over other people's music, but, you know, and I haven't taken this act out yet, and we're going to start playing.
Live day, June 1st.
Yeah, we're going to be on that. Thank you very much for inviting us. And by the way, thank you for this platform. I know you're giving me more time than, you know, I'm not going to say than I deserve, but you're giving me a lot of time, and I really appreciate it, Mike.
You're welcome.
So, thanks for listening and this. This is a very poignant song.
Two old lonely guys from Rick's latest record called Coming Home. This is WMFO. We'll be back right after this.
Took me on the merry-go-round. Your devil held my hand and walked me into town. Your devil even taught me how to ride a bike. But at least you pitched him in till there was no more. Won't you come and see me sometime? We can talk about old times. Just two old lonely guys getting together one last time. Though it can be so hard to show your love, tough guys like us don't talk about that stuff. Let's leave the conversation to the weather. And if the socks are gonna